Okay, so while we wait for Nathan, I'll just do a few quick announcements. So on Saturday the 24th, you can diarize that. We will be having a key women meeting in the morning. It will start at 9 and it will wrap up by 11. This weekend, we've got vision, when the elders share their vision for us as a church for the year. And all of you are invited to come and listen and hear what they have to say and share their vision for the year with us. So that will start on Friday night at 6:30, and then we will continue again on Saturday morning at 8:30. For coffee, 9 o'clock will be the official start of the meeting. And there's Nathan. So you do know that we have a life team every year of energized young people who serve us coffee with huge big smiles, and they bring a different kind of energy into this church, and especially to key women. So they do brighten up our Wednesday mornings. And the person who will be leading life team this year is Nathan. He was here last year. So Nathan, there we go. Would you like to come stand here? And then we've got Musa. Musa will be joining us. And Musa is from Balfour. Welcome, Musa. And then we've got Martin and Tracy, and they are from Klopper Park. Where's Tracy? Love your hair, Tracy. She's bringing the pink vibe to the ladies' meeting. And then we've got someone named Josh. Now, Josh is still in Europe. Skiing, I believe. So Josh will be joining us soon. And Jess, where's Jess? Jess is from Hilton. Welcome, Jess. So we would just like to say welcome. We'll try and remember your names. We will probably know all of you on first name terms by Easter. I don't know. Many of us are menopausal. It may take a while. But welcome, welcome. And we look forward to getting to know you better this year. May God bless you on this exciting journey. Elena. Elena, please come forward. Elena is from Bedford View. The only girl from Bedford View, we just take you for granted and ignore you completely. Welcome, Elena, and the same goes for you. May you be blessed on this exciting journey, and may we all get to know you by name before Easter. Thank you, guys. Thank you, and welcome. So, ladies, this morning, Nicole is going to share with us, and she's going to be speaking about that person that we sang about a few seconds ago, that person that we call the King of Kings. His name is Jesus, and she's going to share an invitation that he personally extended to us. He reached to us and he said, come. And so Nicole is going to unpack this message. But you know, for us to come here and sit here and hear a good message and go home unchanged is sad. There's just no better word for it. I love what Billy Graham says. Billy Graham says, the world cannot escape Jesus. They can't escape him. Our calendar is based on his birth. He is in every library. He is in every bookstore. He's probably in most homes. Movies have been made about him. Songs have been written about him. And once you meet him, you will never be the same again. Whether you receive him or not, you will be changed. If you accept him, when the world goes this way, you will turn around and go that way. You will be reshaped. You will be reformed by this King of Kings. And even if you don't accept him, you will still be changed. Because in the Bible, we read that the rich man said to Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit the kingdom of God, heaven? And Jesus said, well, go and sell everything you have and follow me. And the Bible said he turned around, grieved, sorrowful, disheartened. Even that man, in rejecting Jesus, was changed in that moment. So many people believe that they will go to heaven because they are good people. Do you know how many people think they're going to heaven because they are good people? Have you been to funerals of unsaved people where they don't mention the name of Jesus, but lots of people get up and they all stand there and they tell you how good that person was? And our good works and being that good is not our way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. He is the way to heaven. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. So poor in spirit means that we know that we are sinners. Jesus didn't come for the good people. Jesus came for the sinners. So if you look in your heart today, if you look really deep and you know that you are a sinner, then we want to say to you, Jesus came for you. And this invitation is for you today. So please don't just listen to this message and remain unchanged. He's inviting you today. You hold that invitation in your hand, and Nicole will explain it in depth to us just now. So what I'm so passionate about is this King of Kings, where it says he will change. We sang that song this morning. He changes our shame into glory. Hey, Joel, he's the only one who can change our shame into glory. But we need to know this man, Jesus. We need to know him. We need to have a deep knowledge of him, because it's only when we know him that we get to know ourselves. And in that, we get to discover what his will and his purpose is for us in our lives. So how do we get to know this Jesus? We read the word. And I cannot say that often enough. Read the word. Just start with 5 minutes a day. Discover him, because as we master the Bible will master us. Someone said, as we read the Bible reads us. And I cannot tell you how true that is. And all of us started somewhere. All of us started way back with one page, maybe 1 minute a day. And look where we are now. Look how far we've come. So I encourage you today, join in a Bible study. Make it your earnest desire to get to know this King of Kings that you call your Lord and Savior, that you get to know him well, so that when people ask you, who's Jesus, that you can actually tell them and share him with the world. J.I. Packer said, and I'm paraphrasing, he says there's a big difference between knowing God and knowing about God. Because if you truly know him, you will have the boldness to share him. You will have the energy to serve him. And you will find contentment in everything in your life. So ladies, today we're not just going to be good people who hear a good message and go home. We are going to be the ones who are forever changed, who go home and make it our passion and our desire for 2024 to unpack this beautiful book available to us, where God says, I invite you, come, learn about me. I want you to know me deeper. We've got a very fancy air fryer at home, and I never read the instruction manual. And you know how limited my air fryer experience is, because all I know is reheat, reheat, reheat. It can do wonderful things, but I've never taken the time to read the instruction manual. And if you do not know your Bible, I'm sorry to say, but your Christian experience will be limited, like my air fryer experience. Your relationship with God will be limited to the little you know. And there's just no excuse. There really is no excuse. It takes a little bit of time. So Nicole, please come forward. We so look forward to hearing what you want to share with us today. We honor God for this message. We thank the Holy Spirit for the way in which he spoke to you. Ladies, this is God's word. This is God's truth. This is the message straight from heaven that has to settle into our hearts now today. And we pray, Lord, as Nicole unpacks this message, will you bless her, Lord? Will the words that she speak come straight from your throne room? Let her words be your words, Jesus. And we're just so thankful and so grateful that we can be here. And we're so thankful and we're so grateful for Nicole. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. And that you don't want to see us leave and just being left to the way that we are, but that we will leave here empowered and mightily encouraged to just embrace you more and to get to know you better. So bless her, we pray, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Thanks, Sonia. Good morning, ladies. It is so wonderful to be back and to see all of your faces. The 5 weeks in December were a good rest, but we obviously miss friends because that's what we're made for. We're made for community, and that's where we thrive and where we love to be. And so it's just so good to be back this morning. I am convinced that God is wanting to do a new thing this year. I'm convinced that there's a change in our hearts that he's wanting to bring. There's a freshness, there's a new wine that he's wanting to pour out in our hearts. There's a greater desire for Jesus, there's a greater desire for his word. He wants us to be spending more time in prayer and in worship this year. And out of that, I believe we're going to be so much more effective in seeing people reached for Jesus. One of those prophecies over Cornerstone Church is to see men and women standing at the windows, struggling to get in here because they've heard of the truth of Jesus and they want to know more about him. And so we are preparing ourselves to see an incredible harvest come into this church, but it all starts with our relationship with Jesus, and that's what I feel like he's wanting to challenge over the next few weeks. How is our relationship with him, and how are we serving him in what we're doing? And so to start off this morning's message, something you probably don't know about me is I love parties and teas. I love Easter. I love making invites. I remember as a child having birthday parties and thinking months before, what theme am I going to choose and what will the invites look like and what will we eat and what will we do? I remember going to the shops and back in the day, you get those printed out invites, like a pack of 20 that you could write in to whoever. This is the theme. This is the date. I just love invites. I love parties. Before the holidays, we were invited to a wedding. It was very fancy, and they sent us a WhatsApp invite, which was like a whole story of their love story. It was really cute. But what an amazing invite. Like, our whole love story is inviting you to come and join us for something. And so towards sort of the end of last year, I realized that the Bible speaks about these invites, and my heart just got even more excited. Jesus invites us to various different things. There's 8 things that he invites us to, and that's what we're going to be exploring this year, the invites of Jesus. So today we're going to look at come and see. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. He wants to give us rest. That is his invite. In Matthew, it speaks about all who are thirsty, come and drink. He's inviting us to come and dine with him. Come and take up your cross and follow Jesus. He wants us to come away to a secluded place and to rest with him. He wants us to come and inherit the kingdom. And then the 8th one is phrased slightly different. He's calling us to follow him, and he will make us fishers of men. What incredible invites. God is calling us, and he's inviting us to something. And the amazing thing about this is that it's not a general invite that he puts out. He's not saying, come everybody to this event. It's a personal invite. Jilly, you're invited. Come and see what God's doing. Linda, everybody, God is inviting you personally, and that's such an incredible thing for us, to know that he's invited us and he's wanting us to partake in something with him. The important thing about an invite is that it requires a response, and so my worst is when I've been invited to something and I forget to respond, and the person has to ask me again to, are you coming to my party or are you attending this event? It just makes me feel so horrible. If the invite's being extended, we need to respond to that. And what is our response going to be? At the end of last year, my kids were invited to a birthday party, and Greg and I were going to be in Lesotho that weekend, and logistically, I was just trying to work out, how is this going to work? How are we going to get, Mom would have been able to help, and we could have called in, but logistically, how is this going to work? And so my initial thing was, actually, we're not going to be able to make it, we just can't get there. And this little girl, bless her heart, came running to me the week after. She's like, Auntie Nix, I've made a plan. Dad says he'll fetch the kids, he'll drop them off again. She had made a plan on my behalf because she so badly wanted to have my kids at her party. And God just said to me in that moment, actually, I never stop inviting. I'm standing here all the time, every day. I'm inviting you into this relationship with me. How are you going to respond? Are you going to accept the invite today, or are you going to decline it? But the amazing thing about God is even if we decline today, he's right there. He's waiting. He's wanting us to accept that invite. He's desperate for us to commune with him and to come into a deeper relationship with him. And so he never stops knocking. He wants us to accept that invite. And that's just so incredible. Okay, so this morning is the first invite. It's simple, but it is the most profound invite that we will ever accept in our whole lives. And we're going to go through it this morning, but the invite is to come and see. So I'd like you just to turn in your Bibles to John 1, verse 35. While you're going there, even as Sonia was sharing about the Word of God, getting into the Bible, it's just been so incredible getting into the Word of God and seeking him and the stuff that he shows us. And it's like a feast that he has for us every time we get into the Word. And so just to give you a little bit of background about what's happening in this passage while you're turning there, in the book of John, we learn about John the Baptist. John the Baptist he's got a few disciples with him, and these are the first 6 days of Jesus in this John, first few scriptures of John, and they're incredibly important for Jesus. He's about to choose disciples, he's starting his ministry. On day one, in verse 19, it tells us that Jesus is the greatest person. And so John says, I will baptize you in water, but one who will come whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry, worthy to untie. So he has this revelation. John has this revelation that Jesus is the greatest person in the world. On day two, John and his disciples are walking around, they're following Jesus. And in verse 29, he says, John was ministering among the crowd, and the people saw Jesus, and he pointed to him and said, look, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Already, John had this revelation that Jesus was the Messiah and that he takes away the sins of the world. We need that revelation in our own hearts that Jesus is the one that takes away our sins. And a little later, he said, he is the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so, yeah, just amazing that John has that revelation of Jesus. Jesus is the one who takes away the sins of the world, and he's the one that gives us the Holy Spirit, who we so desperately need to do life. And so this scripture happens sort of on day three, and we'll read it together. The next day, again, John was standing with the two disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. So I just love John's heart in that even. He's had this revelation of the Messiah, but he never points people towards himself. He's always pointing people to Jesus. And for me, that was a revelation. Am I, as I journey with people, like wanting to make my own disciples, or am I wanting to point people to Jesus? And that needs to be the cry of our hearts, is continually pointing people to Jesus. John's heart, we see in John 3, verse 28, was that, Lord, would you increase in my heart, and would I decrease? We need to have Jesus in our heart. Would he increase in our hearts every single day? That's my prayer for us as Key Women. Lord, increase in my heart. May I decrease. May I do what you've called me to do, but I want to know you so much more. And then I just love it, the response of these two disciples. Straight away, they leave what they're doing, and they go off and follow Jesus. Isn't that amazing? There's even that story with the catch of fish. They've just caught this like lucrative catch. It would have been worth quite a bit of money. But they leave their catch and they follow Jesus. Is that a challenge in our hearts? Are we willing to leave behind what we have to follow Jesus? He's worth everything. And sometimes we look at those things and we see them as being sacrifices. But actually God's calling us to leave everything and to follow him. And then verse 38 says, Jesus turned and he saw them following and he said to them, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and you will see. So here the invitation is extended, and we are going to look at it in a few minutes. Just want to carry on with just some more of the scripture, just to put it in context. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41 says, And he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means the Christ. So these disciples, they've had this revelation that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the Savior. And poor old Andrew, he's like this guy that's really overshadowed in the Bible by his brother. He always gets called Simon Peter's brother and introduced in that way. But actually, Andrew had one of the most profound ministries. His ministry was always pointing people to Jesus. And I just think in our lives, are we those people? And we might not even be known by our proper name, but are we those people who are always pointing others to Jesus? Verse 42 says that he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John, and you shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. I mean, Peter's just met Jesus, and Jesus is already calling him a different name. Do we have that intimacy with Jesus? He knows everything about us. He knows who we are. He knows our character. But yeah, Jesus renames Peter. He gives him a new calling, a new purpose, because of who, he knows who Peter is, and he wants to do that. Jesus knows our name, and he wants to reveal himself to us and to give us a call and a purpose. And so just going back to that come and see part. Firstly, I love it that Jesus stopped and he spoke to them and he said, come and see where I'm staying. Jesus stops and he says to us, come and see. He's not too busy for us. He's wanting relationship with us. He's saying to us, I'm here. Come and have fellowship with me. Come, I want to know you. And then, on a deeper level, he's not merely just saying, come and see where I stay. He's revealing to them that he is the Messiah, and we can see that they have that revelation. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior of us all. These men had this revelation that he was the Messiah. They left everything and they followed him. And like I've mentioned, the exciting thing about this invite, it's not a once-off invite. It's a continuous thing. Come and see. Come and have this revelation that I'm the Messiah. So over the holidays, I've picked up a series. I was just interested by this concept that Jesus is mentioned in each of the Old Testament books. And it's a gentleman called Frank Alonghi who's got a series. So it's the Footprints of Jesus in Genesis. And it has absolutely blown my mind and excited my heart to see Jesus being talked about in Genesis and in Exodus and Leviticus. And I haven't got very far, and I can't wait to carry on with this series. But the truth that Jesus appears in every single one of those books is just, it's mind-blowing. And that's the excitement of the word that we need to have. This foreshadow of Jesus being in those books of the Bible. So there's 39 Old Testament books of the Bible, and each one of them point to Jesus. I think it makes our reading of the word so much more exciting. I mean, how many of us have started our reading plans for the year, and we sort of get to Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and sort of fade out? But when you see Jesus in there and see what Jesus is doing and how he's painted as a picture in that, it just gives us the excitement to carry on reading through those more difficult books. There's just incredible truths in the gospel, in the Bible. There's a scholar called J. Barton Payne, and he's found over 574 references in the Old Testament about Jesus being the Messiah. I mean, if we sat doing that, we would be busy for weeks and weeks just looking at Jesus the Messiah in the Old Testament. And I really want to encourage you to go and to read the Bible and to read it looking for Jesus. I'm just going to go through some of those statements, and just hopefully that excites your heart to go and see Jesus the Messiah in the Old Testament books. So in Genesis, right in the beginning, we see Jesus' incredible character as he creates the heavens and the earth and everything in it. His purpose in the very beginning was for us to dwell with him, to in this intimate relationship with him, to spend time with him. Imagine being in the garden and having Jesus walk in the garden with you. Like, that's incredible, but actually because of what Jesus has done, we can walk now in the garden with God. We can have that communion with God because of what Jesus did. We know that Adam and Eve were disobedient, which meant that their sin separated us from God. And the fall of man points to our need for a Savior, points to our need for a Messiah. The promise of Jesus is that he would crush the snake, and that points to the finished work that Jesus would do on the cross. It's a term called proto-evangelium, pointing to Jesus, that Jesus is the Messiah. All the way back in Genesis, points to Jesus being the Messiah. The first proclamation of Jesus. Through Noah, we see how Noah is the foreshadow of Jesus' redemptive work that he wanted to do on the cross. Abraham, the promise to Abraham was that through him, the world would be blessed. And Jesus is from the line of Abraham. Isn't that incredible? Like, you don't realize these things unless you get in the Word. Abraham being asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. Like, what a rotten thing. I couldn't even imagine even thinking about taking my children to sacrifice them. And we know that he was testing Abraham's heart to see what was in Abraham's heart. But that was a foreshadow of what God was actually going to do with Jesus. God did go through with that sacrifice. He sent his son Jesus to the cross because of his love for every single one of you. What an amazing, amazing revelation. The story of the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt, God showing that Jesus is our deliverer. He delivers us from the things that are keeping us bonded. He's the fulfillment of the Passover lamb, which we read about in Exodus. He's the rock that produced the water for the Israelites. He's living water, and he quenches our thirst. Even that concept of the rock, how many times do the Psalms speak about God being my rock and my foundation? Look how those things point to Jesus. Isn't that incredible? He's the tabernacle where God dwelt among the Israelites, but now we can have communion with God because of what Jesus has done. He is the manna from heaven, which represents that he's the bread of life. And every day we get to feast in his word and we get to be filled in his word. As we go in and read his word, that's our filling, that's our bread for the day. An occupational therapist by profession, and I've always loved that symbol of the snake on the pole, and just like the symbolism that it means, and even just reading that was amazing. The snake on the pole in Numbers reminds us that when we are suffering, to look up to the cross, Jesus has done it for us. Isn't that amazing? In history, I just want to see if I've jumped. Oh, there we go. Okay. In history, the history of Israel shows us that we need a savior, that we as humans can do nothing to save ourselves except going to Jesus and realizing his redemptive work in our lives. And we see that in Israel, they try so many times to do things right, but Jesus is the one who can save us. If we look at the book of Ruth, Boaz is Ruth's kinsman redeemer. Jesus is our redeemer. And just as even Sonia was talking about the word of God, I had this revelation the other day. So many of my friends have gone and consulted tarot cards or looked at star signs to sort of get their encouragement for the day. But you can never have counterfeit without having real. The word of God is real and the word of God is truth. And the same as you can't have a counterfeit coin without having a real coin. And I just love that about the Word of God. No matter what you're experiencing, when you get into the Word, when you seek God, he gives you answers for what you need. And silly little things that you just get excited about, which are just so amazing. So a few days ago, I'd been reading in the morning about Jonah and being in the belly of the fish for 3 days. I always thought, what a random story, but I get it. He was disobedient and he needed to be punished. And then he was obedient and he went and told people about God. But actually, that 3 days in the belly of the whale is the foreshadow of Jesus spending 3 days in the tomb. Like, amazing. And like, I just love it. That morning I'd read the first thing. That night I did my devotion and Matthew was talking about the sign of Jonah. I was like, Lord, how did you know that today I would have read this in the morning and you would have confirmed it in the evening and like blown my mind about this? The word of God is living and active. It is sharper than a double-edged sword. Guys, we need to get into the word again. We need to be finding ourselves in God's presence, reading the word, because that is the life. And he wants to do something new in us. And the word of God is truth. And if we know this word, we can take it out. But if we don't know it, we can't take it out. And I really believe God's encouraging us. Come and see, I'm the Messiah. There's more to me. Come and feast on the more that there is. He's wanting to do a new thing in our lives this morning and this year. I even love it that, well, it's a hard truth, but the Jews devoted their firstborns to God. Jesus was Mary's firstborn son, and he was the firstborn over all creation. We see that in Luke. He's the firstborn of the dead, which speaks about in Colossians. He's the suffering servant. He was beaten, he was whipped, he was crucified, and he was pierced by a spear for us. that revelation can never grow old in our hearts. The suffering that Jesus went through on that cross, even the fact that God turned his face from Jesus was because of my sin, the things that I've done wrong. And Jesus is so amazing. He took on all of that sin, and he's given us life again, and he's given us relationship with God again, and that just is amazing. So Jesus, even his life on earth, he fulfilled at least 300 prophecies that were spoken about his ministry that he would do on earth. And if you're looking for a place to read, there's so many different resources that we can look at. There's incredible Bible reading apps. There's incredible things that you can go. If you don't know where to start, there's wonderful apps and things that you can go on that you can pick up your Bible and start reading. It can start making sense. So please don't feel condemned. Please don't feel lost. We're here. We would love to help you and to share with you some areas where you can start just devouring the Word of God. And so Jesus' invite is to come and see. It's for us to know Jesus in a greater and more intimate way than we have known him before. In John 4, verse 25, it's a story of the woman at the well, which I'm sure will get picked up in a few weeks' time as well. But the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming. He is called the Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak, I am he." And that revelation that he was the Messiah was to that woman at the well, and it transformed her life. What is our revelation today of Jesus? Do we know that he's the Messiah? As Sonia mentioned earlier, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, please come and chat to her or myself afterwards. We would love to lead you to know Jesus. It's the most incredible relationship you will ever have. If we carry on looking at that scripture in John 43, it goes on to talk about Philip coming to be a disciple of Jesus, and then it comes to speak about Philip calling Nathanael, and he uses those very words with Nathanael, "Come and see." He's had this revelation of the Messiah, and he says to Nathanael, "Come and see." And we speak often about knowing God and making him known, but that's the purpose of our lives. The purpose of our lives is to know God and then to make him known. Greg made this quote on Sunday morning saying that if we're only doing works for God, they're just works. We need to know God. But if we're only spending time knowing God, we're actually being disobedient to what he's called us to do. And so our lives need to be lives of first knowing God and then making him known. And so the invite has been extended to all of us. And I really pray that in the next few days, today, the next few weeks, that you go and you come and see Jesus. How are you going to respond to him? And how are you then going to share him with others? And I feel like there is a response that we need to have this morning. So perhaps, Jilly, you can come up and just lead us in, well, not lead us, but just worship in the back. This invite is for every single one of us. And I would love you guys to stand up and do some ministry, well, like let the Lord minister in your hearts. I feel like it's a personal thing. We need to respond to the invite of Jesus. And so I'd love you to do that in your hearts personally. But just as I've been praying through this series and trusting the Lord for what he's wanting to do, I really felt the other day God gave me that statement about unblocking Jacob's wells. And so Jacob's wells were built in the Old Testament times. They had to be unblocked. And that's actually where we find Jesus with the woman of Samaritan. She's at Jacob's well. In the holidays, my mom-in-law and Greg were cleaning up our drain pipes. And it doesn't take a lot. It takes a few leaves to go sludgy and mucky and to create quite a big stench. You have to stick that little whizzy thing up and whizz it round to get that muck out. It's muck, it's dirt. And I believe that there's ladies here, God's wanting to come and remove some of the dirt that's in your lives. It sounds like such a crazy thing. There's wells that he's wanting to unblock this year, today. There's fresh living water that he's wanting to pour out inside of us. And would you respond to that? If you feel like that's you, if there's things in your life, maybe it's a relational issue, maybe it's just feeling like you're too old and what is your purpose? God has got a plan and a purpose for you, and he wants you to know that. if it's feeling like maybe the word is outdated or you can't understand it because it's too difficult to understand, God wants to give you fresh revelation of the word of God. If you feel like your prayer life's become stagnant and you're struggling to pray, perhaps you feel like God's not answering your prayers, God is wanting to reignite your prayer life. He's wanting to bring just such a great revelation of what he's doing as you pray. And so, yeah, I don't know quite... I think we all need to stand this morning, and I think it's good for us to respond. But if you would like prayer, we would love to pray for you. Please do not leave this morning, God having challenged your hearts, and leave the same. God is wanting to do something fresh in our lives, fresh and new. Would you respond to him? This is not for us. It is for God. Would you respond to Jesus this morning? Would you make him Messiah and Lord of your lives? And would you let his living waters flow in and through you this morning?
James 4 verse 8, God says, if you draw near to me, then I will draw near to you. And there are so many scriptures in the Bible where God gives us these promises. He says, if you abide in me, then I will abide in you. There are treasures to be discovered. We just need to search for them and find them. It's not even that difficult. Joshua 1 8 says, if you meditate on my word, you are careful to live according to what is written in my word, you will prosper and I will give you success. But we need to know his word.
Good morning. I've been thinking about those blockages, things that are blocking us from coming to the Lord. And Lamentations came to me about, there's a time for everything. Read it to you. There's a time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn those things that have upset us so much. And a time to dance, to be joyful in the Lord. Thank you. time to throw stones and the time to gather stones. A time to embrace. How wonderful is an embrace, a hug, a tender word, a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost. Don't give yourself up as lost. Just keep searching for the Lord. A time to keep and the time to throw away. A time to tear apart and the time to sew together. A time to be silent and the time to speak. A time to love and the time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. I believe in January we're in the season of endings and beginnings. Last year is gone. This new year is ahead of us. Embrace the Lord. He wants to show you new things. But those blocked up pipes with anger, with all those bad memories, with all the offense that we have in our hearts, holding things against others, unforgiveness. Allow the Lord to come and unblock those. Let him, let his fresh and living water flow over you. Just like filtered water, like running water, beautiful, clean, and running water. Let that wash over you and make you clean today. Amen.
In today's world, which is very plastic and very changing, and lies go around, we don't know what's the truth or the lies, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, we cannot see the future. But when we stand on God's word, when we know God's word and his absolute truths that will never change, then we stand in a strong place. It is really important for God's people to stand strong on his word.
Barbara, I love that, because how will we know what is fake if we don't know what's real? How will we be able to see the truth if we stare at fake? Because it's only in this beautiful, beautiful book, and I'm borrowing yours, and it's in such good nick. It's heavy, it's big, I'm sure it's well loved. And Nicole spoke about the treasures in the Old Testament, how we can find Jesus in the gospel in every book, and it's absolute truth. And I once heard someone say, and I love it, the Old Testament is the New Testament proclaimed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament explained. So if you look at this book and you're intimidated and you're like, where do I start? It doesn't matter, just start. Just start. Come and see. Come and see. And this is where we see him.
A word that is so real in my heart and so precious is when God says, seek me with all of your heart and you will find me.
That's truth. If you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart. And we don't seek him with all our heart if we just read a little devotional that someone else had seen to us. Because God wants to speak to us personally. And don't let the Bible ever intimidate you, because we often read and we don't understand what we read. But you know what? This is the miracle of the Lord. He meets us at that level where we are at. And he reveals to us what we need to know in that moment on a level that we can understand. So I want to say to you, we can all understand this book. We all can understand the Bible. Don't let this be just another year of feeding on someone else's stagnant devotional water that's watered down by the time it reaches you on your cell phone. Create that living water through the pages of the Bible. Your own living water. God knows what kind of water you need. He knows exactly how much oxygen needs to be in that water for you to revive you. you need to revive you with that living water. It was such a beautiful message. Thank you, Nicole. So let us leave today thirsting, thirsting for the living water that we discover between the pages of our Bibles. And let's come and see. Let's come and see. Let's come and taste that the Lord is good. So Heavenly Father, I would just love to pray for us as we leave today, Lord. You love us. We are your daughters. We are your chosen people. You came to choose. You came for the sinners, Lord. You came for us and you chose us. And you shed your blood for us. No bigger love than that can ever be revealed, Lord. So as we leave today, our prayer is that we will leave you wanting to come and see how good you are, to come and see what you want to reveal to us. We pray for that living water, Lord. We pray for a thirst for that living water. So bless us as we leave here today, Lord. Let us be the ones who are your feet to take your message out to the world. Let us have the mouths to speak your word. And let us just be able to love the world out there, Lord, because that is all you expect of us to do, to know you so that we can love others the way in which you love them. So bless us, Lord. Multiply our time, multiply our energy, we pray. Let us seek you first every day and bless our families. In your mighty name, Jesus, amen. May you be blessed, ladies, as you leave here today. We will be meeting again in exactly 2 weeks' time at 8:30 for coffee, and the meeting usually starts at about 9, 9:15, 14th of February. We look forward to seeing you then. Be blessed.